The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Miku, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome this hour. Many of you are driving home now, and some of you may be stuck in traffic because bridges aren't working, traffic lights aren't working, there may be water main breaks, things blocking your way. And in the United States of America, and all throughout the state of Maryland, and in Baltimore City here, there have been infrastructure breakdowns all over the place. Some people say it could take, as one of our guests' organization does, $2.2 trillion to fix the infrastructure issues facing the United States of America. How do we pay for that? What does that all mean? How many times are we going to be stuck on Lombard Street? Or if you're driving in Montgomery County, being stuck in Bethesda because of a water main break and can't get across a bridge? Well, those are the issues we face every day. We're going to talk about that with some seriousness this hour with our three guests, Keisha Powell from Baltimore City, David Mongan from the American Society of Engineers, and during the course of the hour, Congressman Donna Edwards. But first, just in case one of those water main breaks is blocking your way home, let's see what's happening in traffic. And I want to remind you the support for WEAA traffic is provided by Home Depot. Information on gardening and outdoor living at HomeDepotGardenClub.com. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome again. We are joined in studio by Keisha Powell, who is Bureau Head of Water and Wastewater at the Department, Baltimore Department of Public Works, and David Mongan. Say that right?
Correct.
Good. David Mongan, who is former president of the American Society of Civil Engineers and president of Whitley, Bailey, Cox, and Magani, LLC, an architecture, engineering, and construction firm here in Baltimore. During the course of the hour, we'll be joined by Congresswoman Donna Edwards, who represents Maryland's 4th District and is a member of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, and wrote an interesting piece in January about our infrastructure needs. And we'll get to Congressman Edwards when she calls in. And you all can call in at 410-319-8888. Anybody who lives here in Baltimore was just recently inconvenienced by the Lombard Street rupture that closed Lombard Street, sending how many pounds and tons of water into the street?
Millions of gallons. Yes.
Of water into the streets of Baltimore. If you live down in Montgomery County or if you live down in Prince George's County, there's been infrastructure breaks all over the place, from a 48-inch water main break in Durwood, Maryland, and another in Largo, and Bethesda, Maryland was shut down by a 66-inch water main break. It's happening everywhere in the United States of America. Bridges falling. So what do you do about it? How much is the stimulus package going to do for that? How does a city like Baltimore or a city like Largo or a county like Prince George's County pay for these things? And what happens in our future? They say that for every $1 billion invested in infrastructure development, 28,000 jobs are created. So let's talk about that. And what are your solutions at 410-319-8888? Keisha Powell, I mean, you have a job that is, I would consider, if nothing else, one of the headache jobs in Baltimore City. I mean,
well, I have a passion for it.
That's good. You better. And a bottle of aspirin, too, I would imagine. So, but let's talk a bit about seriously what we face. I know that David Scott is the head of Public Works, mm-hmm. But you have a real sense of what goes on in that whole department as well as your own. So talk about, for a minute, to let our listeners really understand what the needs are in a city like Baltimore, what we are facing when it comes to the infrastructure, what it means for us every day.
Mm-hmm. We have a tremendous challenge in front of us. We have a $2.2 billion capital improvement program for the next 6 years. And I've been with the department less than a year. And in coming in, we've turned our attention to trying to work on these issues in a comprehensive way. Doing more planning, looking at the data, trying to target our funding to the most troubled spots, focusing on the distribution system for those water main breaks, as well as the consent decree that we're under, which is $1 billion, estimated to be $1 billion. We have treatment plants.
That's a consent decree that says
yes,
we have to fix...
Yes, this is the wastewater consent decree.
So it doesn't go into the Chesapeake Bay.
That's right.
Right.
There's just a lot to do, and you really have to look at where we are, where we need to be. And right now, you ask, how is it being paid for? It's being paid for mostly by our ratepayers.
So I know the city wanted $750 million from the stimulus package.
That's right, 27 projects.
And what the city got was much less.
Yes. We got a $6 billion principal forgiveness loan for one project and a $6 billion grant for one project.
$6 million grant.
Yes.
Which is way short of $750 million.
Way short, yes.
So what happens if water main breaks keep popping up across the city like this?
Well, we are being diligent about continuing to deal with them. While we are planning on the capital side to deal with those issues in a planned way, we're also focusing attention on our operations and making sure that our maintenance crews are trained. We have enough staff to deal with those issues when they arise. The Lombard Street main break, we had another main break in Halethorpe the very next morning. We had a big main break, a 30-inch main break on Madison Avenue in February. In a two-week span at the beginning of February, end of January, we had 200 main breaks. So those numbers keep increasing. The system's very old, and
we
have to deal with
it. How old is our system? When we say we have an old system.
Parts of our system are over 100 years old. It's been in the ground for more than 100 years.
And some of the younger parts of our system are at least 50 years old.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how long do these pipes usually last?
Well, pipes can have a long service life. I mean, there are pipes in the ground that are approaching 100 years old that still have some service life. It depends on the manufacturer of the pipe at the time that it was put in, the construction. But those are things that, without a good asset management plan, really knowing what you have in the ground, knowing the assets that you have, you can't really say or predict when it's going to fail.
You can't see through any of the technology we have, where the cracks are, what might be bursting next.
Yes, that's what we're doing now under the consent decree. We're looking at the entire sanitary sewer system, but we've not done that for the stormwater system, which is something that we want to do. We know we have to do because we're having problems there. And we want to start evaluating our water system, and we're doing that. We have a comprehensive evaluation repair program coming up for our distribution system for this fiscal year.
Now, when I look at the reports that your group has been putting out, the American Society of Civil Engineers, David Mongan, I mean, the estimate, I think, was $2.2 trillion nationwide.
Correct.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is. And it's gone up. And we put out an infrastructure report card every 4 years, and we're doing that. This is the fourth one we put out in 2009. In 2005, we estimated that the cost over a five-year period would be $1.9 trillion. It has now risen to $2.2 trillion. And you need to understand that we estimate that approximately $1 trillion is currently being planned and programmed within various state and local and county capital improvement programs. The stimulus package was a great start. It was a help. It put out about $80 billion for infrastructure, about $6 billion nationwide for water and wastewater. But it still leaves an unfunded need of about $1.1 trillion.
Well, the question, let me make people some figures to understand what we're talking about when we look at what this country needs, and you can think about it, extrapolate out what you think that might need for places like Baltimore, Prince George's County, Montgomery County. The Environmental Protection Agency estimated it would cost $151 billion and $390 billion every year for the next 20 years to replace obsolete drinking water and wastewater systems, respectively. That's $151 billion for drinking water and $390 billion for wastewater treatments every year for 20 years. Now, that's a huge amount of money. And add to this, let me just throw some, so I'll just talk about where, how we do this. Add to this, the Federal Highway Administration said it's $131.7 billion over 20 years to repair roads that are deficient in this country, $9.4 billion a year for 20 years to repair bridges in the United States of America. And so, I mean, that's a huge amount of money. Now, this, the war in Iraq is costing us $1 trillion a year. Mm-hmm. Put that in perspective. So the question is where we want to invest our money in the United States of America, and how do we invest that money?
Obviously, there are many competing needs for the nation's tax dollars and for the nation's investment. And we need to rationally make decisions as to how to make that investment. We believe that a significant portion of that investment should go into infrastructure. As you indicated, every $1 billion invested in infrastructure creates
28,000 jobs.
28,000 jobs. Right. It clearly, investment in our infrastructure adds to our economic well-being and creates a base upon which that we can grow our economy. So we believe that a significant portion needs to be invested in our nation's infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think last night we had a showing of the film Liquid Assets, which ASCE was a supporter of. And
what was it called again?
Liquid Assets.
Liquid Assets.
It's a film about the nation's infrastructure. You have it there. Water. Infrastructure, water, wastewater, and stormwater. And before the showing, I said that it's been estimated that this is a $540 billion problem. There's a $540 billion funding gap. But it's very hard to get a community of decision makers to get behind a $540 billion problem that you can't see. So we in this industry are really trying this year and past years, but really this year, AWWA has come out with their campaign, Tap Water Delivers.
AWWA?
American Water Works Association,
okay.
Sorry. they had posters that they sent out that said, I'm 400,000 jobs waiting to happen, 400,000 jobs waiting to happen. So we're really trying to push the message. This has to be a national discussion. We have to start talking about how we get these programs funded, what the driver should be, perhaps what programs should be funded first. In the city of Baltimore, we're working with our Department of Transportation to look at how we maximize funding. You know, they're doing roadway work, which is needed in Baltimore, but we have to do the underground infrastructure. And we're trying to look at how we spend the money wisely at this point, because there's not a lot to go around.
Well, if we look at what you two are saying, we're talking, by the way, at this moment, we're waiting for Congresswoman Donna Edwards to join us by phone from Capitol Hill, where she serves on the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. We're talking about infrastructure needs in the state of Maryland and around the country. There are trillions of dollars needed to build in this country. It could put a lot of people to work, but there's a big political argument where that money should go. We're talking about how much money should be spent and how it should be spent. And what really stimulates this economy? Some would argue, and we'll talk about it here, hear your thoughts at 410-319-8888, that if you invested $2.2 trillion over the next X amount of years in America and put hundreds of thousands of people to work, it would stimulate the economy on its own, at least be part of stimulating the economy by putting people to work. They'd be spending money, saving money. Companies would be built. What are your thoughts at 410-319-8888? We're talking with Keisha Powell, Bureau Head of the Water and Wastewater at the Baltimore Department of Public Works. David Mongan is former president of the American Society of Civil Engineers and president of Whitley, Bailey, Cox and Magnani, an engineering and architectural construction firm here in Baltimore. 410-319-8888 to join in on this conversation. So, but one of the things that Barry Levinson, the filmmaker, said to me today in an interview we taped to be heard on Thursday. It's not about infrastructure, but he mentioned infrastructure in this documentary he just did about political people being politically active out of Hollywood. At any rate, what he said was the problem with infrastructure is what you just said, Keisha. It's not sexy. Mm-hmm. People don't see it. They don't. You can't kind of show them a piece of lead pipe and go, oh, we have to go do something about this. And if you see something that's dramatic, then people will pay attention. But if it's not dramatic, people just don't look at it. So it is a can be a really boring, dull subject. Not to say engineers are boring and dull. I'm just saying it can be a boring, dull subject to hear people talk about pipes. But that's the issue. How do you get the public's attention and the congressman's attention?
I think this is a very good tool. As Mr. Mongan said when we were in the green room, this is something that is, it helps the layperson really understand these issues. I think this is the best tool that I have seen to explain these issues in detail. It's not a Hollywood blockbuster, but I think it's the best thing that the water industry has at this point. But I think you have to use issues like we had on Lombard Street, like we had in Halethorpe, where we completely flooded Amtrak's rail system in that area and stopped their all of their trains going northbound, southbound, couldn't get through Baltimore. You have to use those issues as a springboard to get people interested. I mean, it's we shouldn't have emergency situations or even situations like the bridge collapse in Minneapolis to draw people's attention when it becomes a catastrophe. But, you know, that's what we're using right now. But we have to kind of elongate this discussion, I think.
It's unfortunate that we tend to have a crisis mentality in this country and that we focus on crises. But we need to think about it in a very individual and personal way. The average motorist in the state of Maryland spends an additional 44 hours sitting in congestion. They waste 32 gallons per year sitting in that congestion. That equates to over $880 that they spend out of their pocket to sit in that congestion. Would they rather spend it in congestion and lost time and not being able to be with their families, or spend it on improvements to roads or improvements to transit? I mean, what choices do we need to make? And it doesn't just simply have to be user fees or taxes. There are other tools that are available. There are infrastructure banks that the federal government is talking about implementing that could help fund many of these projects. There's public-private partnerships where the private sector and the local government work together to fund and build these infrastructure improvements. Virginia is doing that right now on a series of what they call hot lanes along the Capitol Beltway. So there are ways to do this that don't simply take tax dollars or necessarily user fees to do it.
So if I have to ask just one question, though, David Monaghan, because there's some articles I've read about. There's also this line people throw in your articles about your organization, the stuff you push on Capitol Hill at the American Society of Civil Engineers, that they say, okay, look, this is great. They're saying this is really a crisis, but they have a vested interest here. This is their members. They want to put people to work, and they want to put their people to work and make their businesses grow.
I could respond to that by saying, when you go to a doctor and a doctor gives you a diagnosis that you need to have a certain operation that doctor would perform, do you view that as self-serving? I don't think so. You go to professionals, and who better to be able to make a statement and do an evaluation of the condition of a nation's infrastructure than those that design it and build it? We're professionals. I don't care whether we get another job, you know, doing a highway project, if what we're doing helps improve the quality of life for all of us and improves the quality of life for our future generations. That's what we're about.
410-319-8888. David Mongan's former president of American Society of Civil Engineers. Keisha Powell is the Bureau Head of Water and Wastewater at the Department of Public Works here in Baltimore City. Congressman Donna Edwards will be, Congresswoman Donna Edwards will be calling in shortly at 410-319-8888, which is the number you can call to join this conversation. And think about how much delay in your life all this has caused, what your thoughts are, what we're willing to pay as a society to deal with infrastructure, whether it's our traffic and highways or whether we're talking about wastewater, whether there's so many issues here. 410-319-8888. Because again, I mean, and we're talking about something that's way beyond just wastewater treatment here. We're talking about the entire infrastructure of America. We're talking about rebuilding the infrastructure of our schools. Mm-hmm. We're talking about highways and airports and rail. Now, in the argument that takes place between rail and highways, that's a huge argument. I know that's not your bailiwick entirely, Keisha, but I know I've heard your reputation. I know you're an extremely right woman, can jump in on any of these
things.
That in the argument about rail and highway, people say no matter how much you build, we cannot build our way out of highway congestion. You build it larger, more will come. It'll get jammed. If the only way around this really is to have equal or more money put into transit and into public transit and into rail to try to eventually over the next 20 years move people out of their cars, not completely, this is America, we're not all going to get out of our cars and into rail. And President Obama has said, look, we need to have fast rail going throughout the Midwest to get people from Wichita to Texas and Phoenix. So what about the argument about rail versus highway and where we need to invest our money?
We need a balanced transportation system, there's no question. And we need a policy change at the federal level. There was a recent article and talked about John Porcari, the current secretary
of transportation here in Maryland, who's going to be number two at DOT in
DC. Number two at DOT.
Right.
The concept is, imagine for a moment that if Maryland and New York and New York City got together and said, we want to improve the connectivity, the ability to move people between Baltimore and Maryland and New York. Well, we could expand Interstate 95. And under current practice, the federal government would fund 80% of it. We said, well, maybe that's not what we want to do. We want to improve the airports in BWI and Kennedy or LaGuardia. Well, under current practice, the federal government would fund 50% of that. But if we sat back and said, no, what we really want to do, because we want to improve the environment, we want to reduce consumption of gasoline, we want to expand the high-speed rail capability between Baltimore and New York City. Well, guess what? The federal government wouldn't spend a dime to help that. Now, the stimulus has some money in that, and Obama's budget has some money. But traditionally, there wouldn't be any federal funding for that.
But
that's wrong. Clearly, there needs to be reorganization of thought and priorities relative to how we fund the various transportation elements.
It does seem skewed.
It does. It is.
that's really badly skewed. I hope Congressman Edwards joins us soon so we can ask her about that question.
Yeah. Keisha. I when you look at Baltimore, and I'm not a transportation expert, but we've got one line north and south, and we're working on one line east and west. That's partly related to a funding issue. I would look at planning. These are, I think that, again, there has to be a coordinated effort, local, state, and federal, to look at our transportation planning for even just on the local level, so that we can move people, and then that promotion can be there to get people to actually use it.
Let me open the phones here. We're talking with Keisha Powell and David Mongan about our infrastructure failures in America, in Baltimore, throughout the state of Maryland, and what we're willing to do about it, what we have to do about it, and how we change the laws to get it right, and how do we put these people to work. I'm going to talk about putting people to work after these next several calls at 410-319-8888. And Robert, in your car, you're on the air.
Yeah, I guess one thing that we don't want to lose sight of is that the infrastructure when it comes to sewage and water is a public health issue.
Yes.
And then you have to prioritize what's important. You know, do we need another Wabi 2 super airplane? that's not going to put any money back into infrastructure and probably not be used. I mean, how many more Army tanks do we want to buy, or do we want to put people back to work? One of the things that's a peripheral issue is there's a gentleman that runs Nestle's globally, and he does not think that water is fresh water is an inalienable right, but it's a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to buy water. He doesn't want you to get it, and that's the Nestle CEO. So, I mean, how can you not have fresh water and sewage in place? I don't know.
Robert, you raised a really interesting question. Did you hear what Robert was saying?
I didn't hear the beginning of his question.
Could you repeat the very first thing you said, Robert, so Keisha Powell, one of our guests, could hear you, what you just said again, because little garbly.
Well, first of all, sewage and fresh drinkable, potable water are requirements, you know, for any infrastructure. It's a public health issue. It's just not economic. So when you start thinking about prioritizing how to best suit the population, public health should take a higher priority over the next new generation of airplane or the next new generation of Army tank or the next generation of boats.
Right.
These are things that put people back to work and perpetuate our society as opposed to being destructive behavior.
Yes, I agree. It is a public health issue, but it's also an economic issue. It's a growth and development issue. You can put people back to work for all of those reasons, but you can't have a sustainable community. You cannot have growth and development if you don't have the infrastructure to support it.
And I think that the whole issue of water, I mean, is an issue that we've talked about here before, and we'll have to come back to in some much larger way, I mean, because we are facing a water crisis in this country and mm-hmm. in this world. And the amount of water we lose, mm-hmm. the amount of fresh water that we lose and clean water that we lose because of these
main breaks
are horrendous. I mean, what's the estimate we're looking at?
We estimated from our last water audit that we're losing 20% of our finished water revenues from the water that we lose. Which is the reason why we have a comprehensive program for this next fiscal year.
You're talking about does that mean, let me understand, in kind of...
Meaning that we're treating it, but we're not seeing the return on. So we're spending money to treat it, but when we put it out in the system to deliver it,
we're losing one-fifth of our
consumed.
Clean water,
yeah.
of our usable, drinkable
mm-hmm.
water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
the
of leaks in our pipes.
From the system, from leaks in our pipes.
Yeah, the Environmental Protection Agency estimates that nationwide... that pipe leaks contribute to 7 billion gallons a day
mm-hmm.
of
a
lost
day.
A day
right.
of lost water.
Seven billion gallons a day.
Right. And when you talk about trying to get this message out, it's important for people to really understand what that means. That means that you're paying rates, and the money that you're contributing for this system, is part of it is being lost. And that's why we're trying to, as a city, we're really focused on trying to tighten up this system to pull that back so that the money that our taxpayers are investing in this system, the region that we serve is investing, is not going to waste. And I think that London, England had a great public outreach tool. They showed, because they have to spend millions of pounds to tighten up their system, they're showing their citizens in terms of their historical landmarks. You know, you can fill the Tower of London with the water that we're losing from the system every day. And that was a tool that works. So we're trying to do that here in Baltimore as well so that people understand the gravity of the issue.
But it seems to me that when people have to understand it are the citizens who have to make the elected officials understand it to figure out where we're going to invest mm-hmm. our stimulus money. Does they get invested in, you know, there's my pet peeve, but I don't want to jaundice the conversation. Do we want to spend it on Wall Street, or do we want to spend it on our streets?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and under our streets. That's the question. Where do you want to spend it? 410-319-8888 is the number here. We're talking about infrastructure, the issues we face here in Maryland and in our region and in the United States of America. We're joined by Keisha Powell, who's Bureau Head of Water and Wastewater here in Baltimore City, Department of Public Works, and David Mongan is a former president of the American Society of Civil Engineers and president of Whitley, Bailey, Cox, and Magnani. You can join us here at 410-319-8888. We're still waiting a call in from Congressman Donna Edwards to join us, who has a great deal to say on this subject. We'll come right back to take all of your calls, but I want to remind you on the way to break that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. Over 7 years later, they're still here during very difficult times to help. For more information, go to MECU.com. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. We're talking about the infrastructure problems that we face here in Maryland, in Baltimore, throughout the state and region, throughout this country. We're joined by Keisha Powell, who is a Bureau Head of Water and Wastewater, the Department of Public Works, and she ably has come in at the last second here, taking the place of Secretary Scott, who runs the department, but he is ill. David Mongan is with us, who's former president of the American Society of Civil Engineers, and is also president of Whitley, Bailey, Cox, and Magnani, an architecture, engineering, construction firm here in Baltimore. The number is 410-319-8888. Did I understand Congresswoman Edwards is with us? She's not with us yet. Oh, she's not. Just got the word she's about to call in. Let's go right to the phones and have folks join us here at 410-319-8888. Robert in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Baltimore. Good afternoon, Mark Steiner.
Hi, Robert.
My question is in regards to how much we're spending currently on our water treatment plants, especially here in Baltimore, and on the investing in water. And my question is, if we do propose to our elected officials that we want them to fix this problem, where are they going to pull the money from? Because I'm learning, not just in the city of Baltimore, but in the State House as well as in Congress, they kind of give us an ultimatum as to where are we going to pay for it this way by pulling money from here, or are we going to cut these social programs altogether? So that's my question.
That's an important question.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question about our spending,
Keisha Powell.
We just finished $65 million in upgrades to Ashburton Water Filtration Plant, and we're looking to make improvements at Montebello 1 and 2. We have finished water reservoirs in the city, 5 of them, that we have to cover or post-treat, so we'll be covering 3 of them and post-treating 2. Montebello, we've started work on, or we've actually advertised that, so we're starting that project. So, and then we finished a system audit, a preliminary audit of our water distribution system, and for next year we have we're projected to spend close to $6 million on a comprehensive evaluation of our first zone of the water system. So the downtown area will be looking at a comprehensive evaluation, rehab, and repair of the downtown pipes.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stop you. And what our caller Robert was saying, David, is part of it is a political question. I mean, we have to set what our priorities are going to be and how we're going to spend them here. And it comes out of Congress. It comes out of here because our political leaders have to force Congress to do what we cajole Congress and force them to do what we want them to do. And also Congress has to make a decision about how they're going to spend and where they're going to spend the money. I mean, I made a comment earlier that there's a debate to be had whether or not banks that don't lend should buy in bad debts from there, or should we be taking these $1 trillion and investing it in infrastructure and putting people to work and saving the future of the country. I mean, these are very serious questions to answer, but if there's not enough money to go around, we have to figure out what our priorities are going to be.
You're absolutely right. There is a bill winding its way through Congress called the Water Quality Financing Act of 2009. I'm not certain whether it's passed the House yet or not. It's scheduled to be voted on, if it hasn't, very shortly, and then we'll move to the Senate. And it will provide an additional $18 billion over 5 years for financing wastewater treatment plants. There needs to be similar legislation proposed on the water quality side to provide money for water distribution systems as well as water treatment plants.
And the number you gave, and I'm going to go right to our next caller, Hilda, who's driving in our car, but when you say the $18 billion, the number I gave to us a minute ago, about earlier in the show, was the estimate is that for just for our wastewater treatment plants, it would take $390 billion a year for the next 20 years to fix wastewater treatment plants. So $18 million is great, but it is a literal drop in the bucket, no pun intended, when it, to deal with wastewater. Mm-hmm. So the question, again, I mean, it is a question of kind of priorities and how we in America want to spend our money. And I'm going to get to the phones here. I have a question to ask you, David, about jobs and this. 410-319-8888. Hilda, in your car, you're on the air.
Yes. My question is to Keisha Powell, and I had the luxury of currently work at Patapsco Wastewater Treatment Plant. I believe she visited the plant, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I have.
Okay, and I work in the laboratory. I'm a microbiologist. And I also worked at Montebello filtration plant. When I cut the radio on, I missed part of your, response to a question where after the water is processed, the wastewater, and it goes into Chesapeake Bay, am I correct in hearing that you're working on changing that?
No, I don't think we said that.
Okay, I heard Chesapeake Bay, and I know that once the water is processed at the wastewater plant, you know, we do empty it out so that it's safe for the marine life.
Mm-hmm.
But is that going to continue? Am I hearing something different? Or
no, I think we were saying that we were talking about overflows, and I think Mr. Steiner was making the comment that we wanted to make sure that wasn't spilling over into the Chesapeake Bay.
Oh.
Overflows,
right.
Basically Chesapeake Bay being all surface waters that are
tributary
to Chesapeake.
Okay, and the other part to the question was, the rates that you were referring to, was that for potable water or sewage on your water bill?
Well, our proposed rate, we have water rates, and our wastewater is based on our water rates. If you live in the city of Baltimore,
yes.
So, right. So we have a proposed rate increase. We haven't talked about that, but we have a proposed rate increase on the table. The Board of Estimates just approved the hearing, which is scheduled for June 3rd.
And how much would that raise our water rates?
By $75 a year.
For home. Hilda, thanks so much. I'm glad you're listening. 410-319-8888. And Marie in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Oh, good evening, you all. I have to say this. If we would stop having wars outside of this country, maybe we can get things done, because there's never anybody saying anything about the cost of wars being a problem. But when anything has to be done over here, education or whatever, is such a big deal. Thank you so much.
Well, it's an issue that's very real. I mean, if you look at the $1.6 trillion estimate of the next 5 years that the American Society of Civil Engineers has put on the table, that's what it costs to start rebuilding our infrastructure. And you think about, that sounds like a lot of money, but if you think about, when you compare it to the $1 trillion and more that we have to complete the Iraqi war, it says a great deal about where our money goes, what our priorities are, and how we choose to spend our money. And I think we are now joined by Congresswoman Edwards. Almost. I just saw her name pop up. Sorry, didn't mean to jump the gun. Saw it there. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We were talking about jobs a minute ago, and I was going to ask a question about jobs. And we see about these number of jobs that could be created for rebuilding our infrastructure. And the question I have is, how do we guarantee, and how many of those jobs go to people in the poorest communities in Baltimore, Prince George's County, Howard County, wherever that work's being done, or anywhere in the United States of America, how that the poorest people get put to work? Well, I mean, before we answer that question, I think Congresswoman Edwards is with us. Congresswoman, you there?
I am.
Welcome. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
Good. I'm glad you're down there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry I missed you Sunday at the Progressive Maryland thing, but I was on the road. Congresswoman Donna Edwards is with us. She represents Maryland's 4th District and is a member of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. One of the things that we've been talking about here, Congresswoman, is the cost of rebuilding our infrastructure. And I saw the what you put out on January the 8th about the infrastructure development and what it's done to your district. We covered that and what's been doing to Baltimore and the rest of the state. And I read this statistic that the cost, let me just throw this out to you and see what kind of discussions this raises in Congress. I was reading some statistics in preparing for the show, and some of them are the EPA says it would cost $151 billion and $390 billion every year over 20 years, respectively, to repair drinking water and wastewater systems, $131 billion and $90.4 billion for roads and bridges over 20 years, says the Federal Highway Administration. That's a huge amount of money. And then bills going through Congress talk about $18 billion for water infrastructure, wastewater, and it doesn't come close to even thinking about what it takes to rebuild this country. What are your thoughts about that as a congressperson?
Well, I mean, the numbers are staggering, and I think there's probably no one either in my congressional district or in our state or around the country who doesn't understand personally that our nation's infrastructure is falling apart. We have not really invested in this nation's infrastructure at the federal level in a meaningful way in decades, not in 1 or 2 years, but in many, many decades. And as a result, the infrastructure is falling apart. And it's not just a bridge in Minnesota. It's a water main in front of my house. It's a water main in Baltimore that covers, you know, the entire street with 2 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
It's roads and bridges and railroads, all of it. And so we're at a crisis point. And it just happens that this point intersects with an economic crisis that we hadn't predicted either. And so it's allowed us at the federal level to inject, you know, a huge amount of money that we wouldn't have spent otherwise into infrastructure. But none of us would argue that it's enough. And so in this Congress, I know that on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, we are holding hearings, you know, multiple days over these next several weeks to try to carve out a new infrastructure plan for our highways and our transit that we will reauthorize this year. We're going to invest in mass transit. We're going to make investments in our roads. We have to fund new ways of paying for it because the fact of the matter is that we've relied on the gas tax that hasn't been raised in 30 years to pay for it. And revenues from the gas tax, because we're running out of oil, are actually decreasing, and they will over time until we won't have the long-term projected money otherwise. And so we're having to look at creative ways to try to fund the nation's infrastructure. But right now, we can't afford to do any less because it's impacting our competitiveness.
It is doing that, and I let our guest, by the way, in the studio with me right now, David Mongan, who is president of the American Society of Civil Engineers, a former president, and runs a huge architecture engineering firm here in the state of Maryland, and Keisha Powell, who's the head of water and wastewater here in the Department of Public Works in Baltimore City. And our listeners, we'll get them in here too. Some of them want to ask you a question at 410-319-8888 around the region. But one of the questions I have is one of the things that David Mongan said near the top of the show when we were talking about, he set up this hypothetical. He said, if New York and Maryland want to have discussion about infrastructure, if they said we want to build highways, the federal government would spend 80% of that and the localities 20%. If they said, no, well, we also want to do airports and rebuild our air traffic infrastructure, well, the federal government would pay 50% of that and the localities another 50%. But if New York and Maryland said, we want to build more rail, high-speed rail between our communities, the federal government would pay zero and we'd pay the rest. That seems a bit skewed. I mean, what kind of conversations are taking place around those issues?
Well, we are actually having conversations about what the federal commitment should be as well as the local and the state commitment. I'm one of these who happen to believe that when you have skin in the game, you have a desire to get it done.
Right.
And so I think it's, you know, and I haven't been around Congress for a long time, and so maybe this is a different kind of perspective. But I think it's important for our state and federal and local governments to have skin in the game and to say, you know what, this is my project too, and so let's make it much more efficient. Let's manage the cost of it so that they're not ballooning. Let's pay attention to whether we get it done on time. And all of those things are questions that you ask when you have something at stake. And then, for example, let's look at Amtrak, just as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I've traveled to Italy and to, you know, other countries that have made deep investments in their railroads so that they can carry not just high-speed passenger traffic, but they can carry high-speed commercial and freight rail.
Right.
And so it improves their efficiency. We should be able to go from Boston to stop in New York and down to Philadelphia and to Baltimore and Washington, D.C., in record time. And instead, we're on the slow chug, even if you're on the Acela so-called fast train, because we haven't invested in the rail. And so what we will need is then a regional partnership, a corridor partnership from the north down to the south in order to do that. That means there are a lot of states that have to say there's something bigger than us here at stake, and the federal government can provide the hub, can provide the impetus to do that.
And I want our guests to feel free to come in and ask Congresswoman what they'd like as well. While she's here with us, and we'll get some calls in here. But another question I want to ask before we open the phones is that, I mean, there's arguments we discussed earlier here, discussion earlier about how we spend the federal money that we have, because it's no matter how much we need, there's a limited amount of money anywhere. And that whether or not, and this is a highly political question, and I know, and I'm curious about the debate you're in about this in Congress, is that whether or not it's the failing banks we should be bailing out, or Wall Street, as people like to say popularly, bailing out, who are not lending money, who now have stocks of money, we're buying their bad mortgage bills back, or should we be investing in the street, literally and under the street? I mean, if there's only X amount of dollars to go around, how do you determine who, what part of our society should get what?
I think, unfortunately, because we've gone through at least 20 years of a lack of regulation that allowed these banks and insurance companies and the rest of it to go completely unregulated. And we're at a point where, unfortunately, I think the answer is that we have to do both. And I look, I'm the last person who wants to give banks money, but I also know that for our small and minority businesses who might be, for example, a transportation contractor and needs that credit to be able to even make the bid, needs the bonding in order to make the bid to compete for federal stimulus money for a transportation project, that we have to make sure that our financial house is stable enough to sustain that, and it hasn't been. And we can lay the blame, and I'm happy to do that, on the 20 years of deregulation. But what I do know is that for our small businesses and for our state and other states, we need to have a stable financial market. And then I would have been the one to argue that we actually should have put more investment in our roads and water and sewer and rail infrastructure. But we put what we could, given the political climate, and already that's begun to create and sustain jobs. I think we did some, smart things that people sometimes don't notice. So, for example, making sure that in the Government Services Administration that does public buildings, that we have a provision for apprenticeship training programs, so mm-hmm. that we can bring in people into the workforce who would not have been in that workforce. It's not a perfect match, but I want a stable financial sector that's heavily regulated to make sure that this never happens again, and then we've got to create some jobs and rebuild our infrastructure.
You're listening to Congressman Donna Edwards, who represents the 4th District here in the state of Maryland. Many of you, our listeners, are in her district. You can join us here at 410-319-8888. She's also a member of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. We're talking about infrastructure. Also in the studio is David Monaghan, who is former president of the American Society of Civil Engineers, and Keisha Powell, who is the head of water and wastewater here at the Department of Public Works in Baltimore City. 410-319-8888. Rosemary, in your office, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to take a moment to go back to the comments that folks were making about how we've misappropriated funds and that we've used so much money to go to war that we've forgotten about the marginalized people, which is truly in the infrastructure of our city. And I want to take a moment, too, to thank Donna Edwards for something that got very little press last week. Donna, thank you for taking an act of civil disobedience at the Sudanese embassy with other Congress people. The Robert F. Kennedy Foundation had sent a series of emails out about that action, and it's those moments of courage that that mean the most to all of us from people who represent us like you.
Well, thank you
very much for that.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
You know, I mean, what's interesting to me is, and part of what's embedded in the question is that we have spent billions upon billions of dollars in our war efforts. And not only has it taken us off of our game in terms of what we need to do here in the United States to rebuild our infrastructure, but it's meant that we've both destroyed and now have to rebuild infrastructure someplace else.
Congresswoman?
Yes.
If I could say...
This is David Monaghan from the American Society of Civil Engineers.
We applaud President Obama's effort in the stimulus package and Congress's passage of that, but as we move to the regular business, if you will, of Congress in the need for an Airport Authorization Act and a Surface Transportation Authorization Act, the president seems to be reluctant to move off of a no gas tax increase and a concern over a revenue increase or revenue associated with the vehicle mileage. And I know that Congressman Obastar and Secretary LaHood have done some sparring. Where do you see this headed? Where do you see this moving in order to provide the needed funding for a Transportation Authorization Act?
Well, I think that is a key question, because while each of us can point to the highway that we know needs to be rebuilt or replanned, or the road, rail project that we want, few of us will step up and say, and by the way, here's how we're going to pay for it. And that is the real question that Congress has. I understand where the president is on this, and part of that is about the economic climate, but I think it's important to be straight with the American people that our infrastructure is falling apart, that it is impacting our global and domestic competitiveness, and that this is work that can't wait, and we have to pay for it. I think even over a couple of decades' time, that an increase in the gas tax is still would still only be a short-term measure because of declining revenues for fuel as we, approach a point where we have surpassed peak oil. Now, that said, I think it does take some courage, both political courage and legislative courage, and I think that our Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and I applaud Mr. Obastar, our chairman, the chairman of our Highways and Transit Subcommittee, Mr. DeFazio, because we're going to confront these very real questions, and our job in Congress is to legislate, and our job is to authorize legislation, and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to figure out a way that the working with Ways and Means, a way that this can best be paid. And the president, and while I salute the work that he does and his tremendous leadership, this is also about Congress, and we've got to step up and take our role in leadership here, and perhaps even convince the American people to do tomorrow what they may not be inclined to do today.
And that is one of the key things we've been talking about here is how you get the message of the need in critical need of this, since it's not a very quote unquote sexy subject to talk about infrastructure.
Well, it's not sexy until something in the road gets
right
up underneath your car and your axle.
Right, but if in front of your house and mine, it becomes very immediate. I don't know, Congresswoman, you have to leave. I do appreciate you taking this time with us, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, and continue to reach out to me, because these questions are really critical and a lot at stake for all of our communities. And so I look forward to continuing to speak with you. And thanks for the hard work of our two guests today, because I think that your advocacy is going to be what makes us do the right thing.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to talk to you. Congresswoman Donna Edwards from the 4th District. And we will be calling on you again soon. Thoughts before we end this hour, Keisha?
I think that this is the beginning. We need to have more discussions. We really need to start working across the lines at all levels of government to figure out how we prioritize and how we fund these issues, how we get them to the forefront so that our constituency understands, everyone that is a decision maker understands, and we actually get it done. I think that Mayor Sheila Dixon's administration has been trying to push a lot of initiatives and trying to get things done. And this is one thing. She came to the presentation for liquid assets last night. She understands the issue, and I think people will be hearing more from her on it.
I was talking about you, Congresswoman Keisha Powell and David Mongan. Thank you both so much for being here. It's been a very interesting discussion. I appreciate you both taking the time to be with us this hour. And this will not be the last look we have together on infrastructure and what we need. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to meet you both.
Thank you.
Folks, we'll take a short break here. I want to remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. And when we come back from this very brief break in the next hour, we're going to be talking about something close here to home in Baltimore, the huge controversy over the $1,000 fines for having your dog off the leash, when less than half of that would go to somebody who is found having their dogs fight in someone's backyard. We'll talk about that and more. We'll be right back, so don't go away.